you've downloaded the Buckeye Leafcast, featuring two guys who have absolutely no idea what they're trying to say.
If he has a good offense, he has a good...
So... All right, let me think here what I was going to say. I don't know what the hell you want to call him over the
what I say?
I was going to say something, and I don't know.
I don't know what it is you're saying, but I like it.
And now, here are your hosts for the Buckeye Leafcast, Andy Evans, and the intergalactic Buckeye fan himself, Mr. Chris Stefanik.
You talked about the chance of Ohio State making the playoffs right now. Very, very, very good, which I think everybody in Buckeye Nation would concur. However, there's still a lot of scenarios that could play out. And it kind of revolves around more SEC talk right now. That seems to be the main rhetoric of the SEC, Chris, possibly getting at least two. There are even some talk of maybe getting three
SEC teams in the
playoff. I mean, that's kind of outside loose talk, but that idea has still been ushered in. And, of course, it's been ushered in by ESPN and jackoffs like Paul Feinbaum, who, you know, that's obviously his job is to talk about the SEC. But seriously, you know, last night we saw Baylor – who was shredding Oklahoma early in the game, end up losing at the end on a last second field goal, basically. So now Baylor's...
Oklahoma has life.
Oklahoma still has life. Hell, outside shot still, maybe Baylor has some life. I think they're
Baylor
done.
Baylor can avenge that, yeah.
I mean, they still can, but I don't know
they
if
need
the committee
chaos.
Is... It could be chaos, you know, if you have Baylor and Oklahoma rematching for the Big 12 championship and they both only have one loss in that game. I think Oklahoma, quite frankly, has a better shot of getting in than Baylor does being a one-loss team. But nonetheless, Baylor still possibly, I think right now they are definitely on the outside looking in. I think more credence should be given right now to a team like Oregon or Utah, because if those two teams match up for the Pac-12, you know, they're right now, what, like 6 and 7 in the rankings? So, you know, one of those two teams, I think, has a better shot than possibly Oklahoma, just because they're ahead of them right now. But let's just say shit gets weird, Chris, and things play out in the SEC where LSU loses to Georgia.
In a close one.
In a close SEC championship game. Georgia's already in with their win over Auburn yesterday. LSU right now pretty much is in unless somehow they fold up the next two games, which I don't think are going to happen. It's like against like Mississippi State and Arkansas, I think, are their last two games of the season. But LSU loses to Georgia. Close game, SEC championship. Alabama ends up beating Auburn at the end of the year in the Iron Bowl, and let's say they win convincingly by like two or three touchdowns. Who's in? If you're the committee and that scenario plays out, obviously whoever the one loss SEC champ is in, right?
Right. What would be really crazy is if there was a two-loss SEC champion. Like if Georgia somehow dropped the game, just came out and they've got a team. I'm trying to think who they've got. They've got Georgia Tech, which is terrible. They'll blow them out of the water. But let's see. I'm trying to think who they've got. So they got A&M.
A&M at home, Georgia Tech,
which
their last
is,
two games.
Right. Which so next week is A&M. Which A&M 7-3, 4-2 in the SEC. So that's not a gimme. They could lose to A&M. Georgia has not been particularly impressive. They basically don't have what I mean. While Fromm looks really good, all their top wide receivers are they like left for the NFL, and then whoever they had left got injured. Their number one guy got injured, so he doesn't really have anybody to throw to. They don't have a dynamic threat in the passing game, so you just can key in on their running game, which so far most teams haven't been able to stop them. You know, outside of South Carolina, but the that they could lose to if they lose to Texas A&M and then beat LSU in the title game, that would make them a two loss SEC champion, but I think they would be out at that point with two losses because there'd be so many other teams with one loss that would be attractive. But you know, assuming the SEC champion is either one loss Georgia or zero loss LSU, they're
we know a zero loss LSU's obviously.
LSU can win out. LSU at this point could win out and be in, and I think they could lose a close one to Georgia and be in as well.
And still get in.
Although, okay. If like let's say Oregon just starts destroying people these last few games, and that would include Utah, they'd be a one loss champion. They'd be destroying people. LSU would not be a champion. They would have one, you know, they'd be comparable in the one loss, but they would be, you know, not be a champion. That would make things interesting. There would be a lot of people saying, hey, come on now. They won their conference and they pounded it, you know, at the end. So that would, but most likely LSU can even lose to Georgia and be in as long as they don't get pounded.
And that's the only way I see at least two SEC teams getting in is that Georgia beats LSU in an extremely close championship game. LSU would then drop from number one, maybe down to four. Ohio State, let's say they roll undefeated and beat Minnesota or Wisconsin for the Big Ten championship.
Or even lose to Michigan. I'm telling you, if Ohio State loses to Michigan, they're still in.
Well,
if they win their other games. I mean, unless they got pounded, if it was like a 58-7 or something, but Ohio State loses by two touchdowns to Michigan, but wins their other game, they're in. They're going to be the four seed, but they're in. I mean, they're going to be a one loss Big Ten champion who through most of the season was like one of the most dominant teams in the country, like was the most dominant team in the country up until that point. And I mean, they're in. There's like inconceivable to me that they lose to Michigan by, you know, two touchdowns or less and not make the playoffs. You just run the scenarios. It's like it's going to happen. This actually is one thing that's got me worried about the Michigan game is if they beat Penn State, like what does the Michigan game even mean to Ohio State?
It doesn't Ohio State can lose and are still in.
They're still in the Big Ten championship. They're still in the playoffs. Where Michigan, if they beat Ohio State, it's their season. That's their Super Bowl. So it's like Michigan has way more motivation to win the Ohio State game if Ohio State comes into that undefeated than Ohio State does. Now, the worst thing that could happen to Michigan is Ohio State losing to Penn State because then that changes everything. You know, the last few years, every time Ohio State's lost a game, they absolutely murdered the next team. Murdered them.
Yeah.
And a lot of those times it wasn't against Rutgers. It was against like pretty good teams, you know, like after Iowa, they played a highly ranked Michigan State team and just like completely decimated them because then they had their attention. Right. Then they were like, and also at that point, sure, Ohio State wouldn't have the opportunity to play for the Big Ten title. That would be Penn State, but they would still have a chance to make the national title, you know, to win the national title, to get in the playoffs. If they annihilate Michigan, they would then have a case for that fourth spot being one of the one lost teams that's been, you know, up. Like I said, we talked about how historically dominant they've been. If you're going to have a one loss non-conference team make the playoffs, you would have it be the team that's been like the most dominant in the last 50 years. You know what I mean? It's like if there's ever a one loss non-conference champion that's going to make it, it's going to be that team, right? So, but then Ohio State would be like, hey, if we want to make the playoffs, we gotta like bring it. You know, we've got to blow Michigan out of the water. So if you're a Michigan fan listening to this, which I can't imagine, that's inconceivable to me that a Michigan fan is listening to this podcast right now.
There might be a couple, but
Ohio State to beat Penn State because otherwise that's your chance of winning. But
well, and so I think yes, that's obviously the huge game the Buckeyes have against the Nittany Lions. Like I said earlier, we will talk about that here in a minute. We're getting to it, I promise, folks. For those who want to hear our breakdown and synopsis of the huge game the Buckeyes have against the Nittany Lions on Saturday, but as far as this playoff is concerned. And as far as I'm concerned, If you are a one-loss conference champion, you are in over Alabama, period. Period. Like, I understand the committee was not put together to say, well, who's the best one-loss Power 5 conference champions? They're there to put together the four best teams, period, regardless of whether they've won a conference championship or not. However, that is a big deciding factor in having a conference championship, right? So we know that that's definitely one of the criteria that they are going to look at. And if you are a one-loss Alabama, you know, yeah, you played a tough, solid game, except on the defensive side of the ball, at home against LSU, but you still lost. You kind of had your opportunity to prove that you were the best team in the West. LSU did that, and if LSU loses to Georgia, that would even, I think, further diminish Alabama's chances of getting in, unless, yeah, Ohio State loses to Penn State, loses to Michigan, then Penn State goes and plays Wisconsin or Minnesota in the Big Ten championship game, and let's say Wisconsin beats Minnesota. Now Wisconsin, and then Wisconsin beats Penn State. Now you've got all these teams with like two losses, and the Big Ten's out at that point,
right?
Because they're they're a two-loss conference champ, and we saw that with Ohio State when they were a two-loss Big Ten champ. They got shut out of the playoff there in 2017. So if you're a two-loss Big Ten champion, you're out. Same with the Pac-12. Even same with the Big 12. And at that point, if you've got like all this chaos, as you alluded to earlier, going on throughout the country, and there are, you know, at least two-loss conference champions going on, and LSU slight upset by Georgia in the SEC championship, and then all of a sudden you've got three one-loss SEC teams, and let's say Clemson is undefeated, because at this point, seriously, who the hell is going to beat Clemson? They're finally on track and looking very good right now. And there's just no way I foresee anybody in the ACC being able to beat them. That, I think, is the only way that Alabama has a chance of getting in. Otherwise, if it's, you know, obviously a one-loss Ohio State, to your point, I agree. If you lose to your arch rival on the road, even by a couple of touchdowns, but you come back and you, let's say, beat a possible top 10 Minnesota, who has one loss for the Big Ten championship, or you rematch with Wisconsin, who's, you know, going to be ranked, especially if they beat Minnesota. Well, they're probably still going to be ranked even if they don't beat Minnesota, but they won't be in the Big Ten championship game, because whoever wins between Minnesota and Wisconsin, they're the ones that are going to be representing the West for the Big Ten championships. But my point being is, being a two-loss Wisconsin, they're definitely going to be, you know, ranked fairly high, you know, at least top 15. And if you're a one-loss Ohio State, your only loss is to your arch rival in their house by a couple of touchdowns, I still think you deserve to get in if you're Ohio State, because like you said, you've been lauded as one of the most dominant teams in recent football history, like not even really recent, of the season. Like, some people
like
are saying,
years.
Yeah, this is one of like the most dominant football teams ever seen in like the last 50 years or so. And this is like one of the top 10 most dominant national champions, even though somebody came out with that list and was like, okay, slow your roll here. Like, you know, Ohio State, and this was like halfway through the year. It's like, you know, calm down. Ohio State hasn't even won the damn championship game yet for the conference, let alone a national championship. But at any rate, I still think that if you're a one-loss Ohio State, you're in over Alabama. You're a one-loss Oregon or Utah. You're in over Alabama. And I know that sounds silly because technically Alabama right now is ranked ahead of them, but I think if that scenario were to play out, look at what happened a la 2014 when Ohio State was sixth going into the conference championship game against Wisconsin, absolutely shredded them, and then jumped two spots into the number four spot to get into the playoff over TCU and Baylor, who were both ranked ahead. Now, of course, at that time, the Big 12 didn't have a championship game, and that was one of their cries, was that, oh, that hurt us, which, you know, technically it did, because that's what the committee said, was like, well, you guys don't have a championship game. Big Ten did. They proved it. Boom. You know, there's your fourth and final spot. So, and if LSU loses a close one to Georgia, LSU probably is still in. You'd probably have LSU, Georgia, Clemson, and Ohio State at that point. With Ohio State probably getting the nod over an Oregon or a Utah or even an Oklahoma or a Baylor, but still, and an Alabama, but still, a lot of chaos can happen here, Chris. I mean, coming down in the last couple weeks here, this, you know, a lot of football still to be played, and, you know, this is part of the fun of it.
Yeah, and so, the Tua injury really hurt Bama's. I mean, I thought Bama was
huge.
Bama needed was a question anyway, but then losing their quarterback. So now it's like you have to even question their resume up to this point, because their resume up to this point was with this admittedly amazing Heisman candidate quarterback that's not on the team anymore. So it's like, okay, your resume to this point is pretty much null and void. So I think Bama is out. There's just, I don't see how they overcome that. It would have to take like the most crazy, unrealistic scenarios for it to happen. Now, one thing I will say, Ohio State is not the only hope for the Big Ten. Penn State wins out, they're in. Penn State wins every game from here on out by 1 point, they're in.
Well, and there you go. That's all they need to do, is just win. Well, 1 point. That's fair. So that's fair, because if they beat an undefeated number two ranked Ohio State in their house by a point, right, which would be ironic given the way the last two seasons have played out between the two teams. If Penn State wins out,
they're
wins
in.
The Big Ten championship,
also,
I would say, that Penn State
Minnesota
should be
wins
in.
Out, and they smoke everybody from here on out. Now, if Minnesota like squeaks their way out, I don't know that they're in. They're probably not. They're not going to go over top of like the Pac-12 champion or anything like that. But like Minnesota comes out as beating teams like 40-3, including, that would include like playing Ohio State. They probably,
yeah, that would include
there. I mean,
they're going
to have to dominate though. Yeah, or even if it's Penn State, let's say Penn State wins, knocks Ohio State out of Indianapolis, and then Minnesota comes in there and rolls Penn State. You know, they roll Wisconsin, roll Penn State. They're going to have a pretty good case to be made for getting into the playoffs. So Minnesota is not out. Minnesota does need help though. Ohio State and Penn State do not need help though. They control their own destiny. So that's pretty good for three teams to have life for the playoffs and two of them to control their own destiny, you know, in week, you know, through 10 games. So the Big Ten is standing really good for these playoffs. It's there's not a lot of scenarios where you don't have a Big Ten champion playing in there. And you could also see the scenario where Ohio State doesn't win the Big Ten, but it gets in if they like we were just talking about. So there's very, very few scenarios where the playoffs don't include a Big Ten team.
Well, and see, that's what's interesting is that right now, nobody's talking about a two-team Big Ten scenario. You know, everybody's talking about the SEC, but nobody's talking about, well, if Penn State barely beats Ohio State and then Ohio State convincingly wins against Michigan and has that one close loss at home, granted it would be at home, but still a close loss to Penn State, and then Penn State rolls on to the Big Ten championship game and let's say has a rematch against Minnesota and wins, or, you know, they beat Wisconsin. And then at that point, Penn State, you would have to say, is in the college football playoff, but then where would that leave Ohio State? I mean, Ohio State, people have been saying, looks stronger both sides of the football than Alabama, and to your point, the committee is going to take into account that Tua is now not playing. Right. And Tua was obviously, yeah, they're, like you said, their Heisman guy. You know, he was the huge cog in the wheel for their offense, and now he's not playing. How is Alabama going to look? We're going to find out in the next couple of weeks what their offense looks like without Tua,
Mac Jones,
especially
baby,
when they play Auburn.
Yeah, so in that scenario, where Ohio State loses a close one to Penn State and then whitewashes Michigan, Penn State wins out and LSU wins out, I think you're looking at two Big Ten teams in there. Can you imagine F-bomb? Him like he would lose his shit if there's two Big Ten teams and no SEC teams. You have LSU as the number one seed, then Clemson, then probably Penn State and Ohio State. So Ohio State would play LSU.
Oh,
in the round one, Penn State would play Clemson in round one.
Oh, boy. Yeah, because, I mean, obviously we've seen two SEC teams, what, two different times now? Have we seen two SEC teams or just the one? No, just the one time in 2017, right, where there's been two teams from the same conference.
Yeah, the committee's not going to want to do it. They're not going to want to put multiple. You're not going to see three teams from the SEC. I'm sorry. The committee, because people would revolt. People would, outside of SEC, in SEC country, they'd be loving it. But the whole rest of the world, which, we outnumber SEC country, the rest of us combined.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they would freaking revolt. And I think it might be like the end. Like, they would just be like, fuck you. End of the committee. We're you know, the other conferences could just be like, screw you. We're going to do our own thing. You know, this is not cool.
I've said that for years, that I've felt that the Power 5 conferences, or maybe the other Power 4, if that's, the SEC is going to continue to be looked on favorably, the other four, maybe grab a few other schools or conferences and say, you know what, we're going to just completely break away from the NCAA. We're going to just create our own collegiate athletic organization and screw you guys. Yeah, we're doing our own thing. I've said that for years, but this point it hasn't happened. But so what do you think this Saturday, Nittany Lions, or as I like to call them, the Shittany Lions, come into the horseshoe, the kitties? Yeah, thank God we're not playing over there and we have to hear that stupid rawr after every first down. The pussies are coming into the horseshoe, Chris. How do you see this one playing out? Just going off of what you've seen out of Penn State this year, out of Ohio State, once again, given the last two games between these two, where Penn State has built a sizable lead and Ohio State has scrapped and clawed their way back to a one-point win the last two seasons, is that not a motivating factor for Penn State to come in here and really, really play just an unbelievably motivated game and pull off the upset over the Buckeyes? Or is Ohio State just that talented that there's no way that Penn State is going to pull off the win?
Well, there's a couple ways to look at it. One, you could be like, you know, they want this victory so bad. They were so close and didn't get it. The other could be they start to, like, question, you know, they have it in their heads, we just can't win. You know, it's almost like the Cooper Michigan game thing. Did they get it in their heads that less Ohio State has our number? Regardless of all of that, like, you know, I think both teams are going to come motivated to play. I think you're going to get the best shot from both teams as far as focus, desire, you know, intensity, those things. You're going to get the best shot from both teams. What I'm not so sure you're going to get the best shot from Penn State is their best talent, their best roster, the best team they can put out there, because I'm not sure if KJ Hamler is going to play or not. KJ Hamler,
that's huge.
It's like, you know, remember the 2006 Buckeyes? You take Ted Ginn away and all of a sudden the offense kind of looks pedestrian. You know, he's their Ted Ginn. I'm not saying they're similar players, but they're similar in the impact that they have on the offense. I mean, this, without him, they are not threatening, not scary at all on offense. And I think, like, they're going to really struggle to move the ball on Ohio State if Hamler can't play. I mean, they might anyways, even if he does play, just because this defense is, you know, looking like the number one defense in the country. And hello, Chase Young is going to be back. And they were having trouble protecting their quarterback versus Indiana. What's going to happen when Chase has had a three week bye week to rest and just watch film on Penn State and is super motivated to avenge the injustice forced upon him by the evil NCAA, if KJ Hamler can't play, I think that they're in trouble. Now, I watched a lot of the Indiana game, and KJ Hamler went down in like the first quarter or early second half, and they were pretty pedestrian. Indiana, Indiana's good this year. This isn't like the Indiana, our father's Indiana, that was just an embarrassment. They're pretty good team, Big Ten team this year. They just happen to play in one of the toughest divisions in all of football in the East. But Indiana could have won that game. I mean, there was a muffed punt. They said the Indiana guy touched the ball. Penn State recovers and they go right in and score. I'm looking at the Indiana guy obviously didn't think he touched the ball because he didn't even try. He's like, it didn't hit me. You watch the replay. I don't see where that ball ever touches him. So I think Penn State got a gift touchdown there. Hello, they only won by one touchdown. Then there's also like late in the game, the second half, it's fourth and one. And Indiana lines up in a punt formation. Everybody in the world is saying, yep, this is a fake punt. Because it didn't make any sense. I'm fourth and one for them to punt from there. They needed to score. They should have just came out and ran an offensive play, which would give them much. The fake punt formation only works because people aren't expecting it, right? Otherwise, you'd come out lined up like that all the time on first down. If it was really this great formation for moving the ball, it's not a great formation for moving the ball. It surprises people. Indiana needs a couple scores. The game's winding down. It's fourth and one. They're faking it, and Penn State was all over it. And so Penn State had a short field, and like immediately, the football gods punished Tom Allen for being a retard and, allowed Penn State just like, I think the next play or second play after that scored a touchdown. So yeah, there was like two touchdowns gifted to Penn State by either like poor officiating or poor play calling by, the fighting Tom Allen. So Indiana very easily could have won that game. And you know what Ohio State did to Indiana. So I think like there's a chance that this could be another game where we're not seeing the starters in there in the fourth quarter. And that's that's a high possibility. Now, also, I'm actually more at this point, almost more worried about Michigan. I know Penn State's more talented than Michigan, but Michigan is playing well now, where Penn State, they're a good team. Don't get me wrong. They're a good team.
It seems like they've been kind of sloping off a little bit.
But they're very clearly a good team, but they're very clearly also not a great team. And this is very clearly a great team for Ohio State. So, I think the only way that Ohio State doesn't win is if they have to play poorly. They can't – if Ohio State comes in and plays an A game and Penn State plays an A game, even an A-plus game, Ohio State's still winning. They need Ohio State to come out and play like a C game and then playing an A game to win this game, right? They don't need like a 5 turnover. Penn State's got enough talent and the like that they don't need Ohio State to just completely crap the bed and have like, 5-7 turnover kind of game to win. It's not that bad. But I think there's a pretty big gap between these two teams. And if KJ Hamler doesn't play, it's almost, insurmountable. They would need Ohio State to be just overlooking them for Michigan, and they're clearly not. It's the one if there's a game Ohio State's going to overlook, it's going to be the Michigan game. It's not going to be the Penn State game.
So that's kind of crazy to think that of all the games on the schedule that you think they might be overlooking Michigan just because after. But I can see what you're saying. If they beat Penn State, then right, the season's wrapped up. The season's not wrapped up, but they've already secured a berth in the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah, the regular season is. You see this,
right?
You see this all the time where in the NFL, if a team's secured their playoff berth, their last one or two games of the season, they rest the starters.
They're not playing their starters.
Yeah. You would never see this happen. But honestly, like Ryan Day could come out and be like, yeah, you know what? We've clinched a berth in Indy. we know that if we get business done in Indy, we've clinched the berth to the playoffs. We're resting the starters versus Michigan. I mean, he could do that, and it wouldn't be like it wouldn't be terrible logic. Now, the fan base would freak the fuck out if he did that. They would.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
So that they, you know, we want Michigan's ass. You know, we want those yellow pants. So
fuck yeah.
So there's no way that that would ever happen. But if you remove just the like, we just want it's a rivalry and we want it so badly from the equation. There's a pretty good logic to doing it. You know what I mean? It's like, well, why risk Chase Young? Why risk, you know, Fields? Why risk a lot of these guys? You know, any position where we don't have depth, you know, maybe you don't rest all the starters, but we don't really, you know, the drop off from Fields to Chugger is pretty noticeable. So, you know, the drop off from Young to whoever else the next best guy would be, I guess Smith, is pretty noticeable. You know, the drop off from our starting offensive tackles to the backups is pretty noticeable. So maybe like those positions you substitute, you play the backups, and everywhere else you play the starters. I don't know. I'm just throwing out just crazy scenarios that obviously are never going to happen. But for like you could understand the logic behind it. So the my point being is, yeah, like as crazy as it seems to be, they could overlook it. This is like, as sacrilegious as it sounds to say this, the Michigan game, if Ohio State beats Penn State, is kind of a meaningless game.
Well, it is from the perspective, once again, that they've already wrapped things up, and I don't think that is going to be the case whatsoever.
Yeah, we don't really need to spend any more time on that we already have, because it's obviously not going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, but Penn State, this coming Saturday, going to be a very interesting game, I think. But, you know, Chris, I haven't been giving Ohio State as much credit as they have been deserving of throughout the entire season, because I've just been waiting for it. I've been waiting for it. I've been waiting for that Iowa game. I've been waiting for that Purdue game, you know, and it hasn't happened yet. I hope we don't see it at home against Penn State this coming Saturday, and certainly not against the smelly rodents up north. But it just seems like just Ohio State just focused every game. Maybe, once again, not as focused this past Saturday against Rutgers, but that was because it was Rutgers. Now, I think that they are going to be completely focused. As I said, Ryan Day said, right after the Rutgers game, he was like, that was it. As soon as the final whistle blew, we don't care about Rutgers. I mean, he didn't say that, but you know, our focus was now shifted to Penn State. And I think that's exactly what you're going to see, is a completely motivated, focused, driven Ohio State team. Penn State, the last couple of weeks, losing to Minnesota and then having a close one at home against Indiana, which Indiana, yeah, you know, different team, I think, than even when Ohio State played them. But that could have been a huge game for the Hoosiers that early in the season to kind of get beat up by Ohio State a little bit. And then know that the competition that they were going to face the rest of the year wasn't quite as good, and kind of gave them a great practice, if you will, to go into that Penn State game Saturday with only two losses. You know, so that was a decent Indiana team, but look at what Ohio State did to Indiana. Penn State, trouble at home against them. Not that you can use that as a measuring stick. You shouldn't. But yeah, I just I haven't been giving Ohio State enough credit at all this year. I'm going to go ahead and give them their due this upcoming game against Penn State, and I'm going to say that you know, the Buckeyes win by 17 points. I'm going to put it out there, and I'm going to say it's a 38-21 ball game. I think Penn State will get some points. To your point, KJ Hamler playing is pretty big. I mean, you are talking about a guy
who's electric.
You know, he's electric, and he's the bread and butter for electric. That offense, especially boogie when it comes to the passing game. But if he's not playing, yeah, that's going to set them back even further. But if he is and he's close to 100%, then Penn State's got a chance to at least put up 21 points in this ball game. But I think for the most part, yeah, hungry, motivated Ohio State. They are too deep, too athletic for Penn State this year. Penn State's, yeah, just looked a little rough these last 2 weeks, and I think the Buckeyes get it done. There you go. That's my pick. That's my story. I'm sticking to it, yo.
Nice. I like it. Well, Ohio State is both first in the country in defensive points surrendered at 9.8 and first in the country in defense at yards surrendered at 216. That's a pretty nice combination. I believe they're also first in the country at passing yards surrendered at just 126 passing yards a game. Woo!
Yes, they are first in the country.
Yeah,
sir.
It's pretty hard to beat a team unless you're like a service academy running the wishbone or something. If you can't get more than 126 yards passing, that's not going to win you a lot of ball games. So yeah, they're averaging 51.5 points a game, Andy, and only giving up 9.8. Holy crap! That's crazy.
Top scoring offense in the country, Chris. And get
this. The point differential is almost 42 points. Go ahead.
Dude, yeah, exactly. And do you realize that Ohio State is the fourth best rushing offense in the entire country? And you want to know who's ahead of them?
Give it to me.
Navy, Air Force, and Army. Three teams that run primarily triple option offenses are ahead of Ohio State.
That's crazy.
I know. So, of course, you're going to have those when all they do is run the football. Huh?
And they're not even playing their starters in the second half.
Exactly. And Ohio State is still the fourth best rushing offense in the entire country. And team passing efficiency – oh, no, wait, that's defense. Team passing efficiency offense, they're fourth in the country, dude. Fourth in the country team passing efficiency offense. Second in the country team passing efficiency defense. Number one total defense in the country. Number one scoring offense. Number one passing yards allowed, what you just mentioned. Number one scoring defense. They are actually the best team offensively, Chris, in converting on third down. You look at Ohio State.
Huge stat.
Yeah, huge stat, man. You know, red zone defense, they're second in the country only to Georgia. So, you know, you go down the line and Ohio State is just, you know, tops everywhere. Right. Not just in the conference, but in the country. And, that's huge. So I I'm feeling it. I'm feeling a solid win. I think right now Ohio State is just on an absolute mission to virtually destroy everybody that they play, and I don't see that being much of a difference this weekend, only in that given the last 2 years, the history between Ohio State and Penn State, as well as just, you know, this is going to be one of the better teams that Ohio State has played all year. Of course, we thought that about Wisconsin, and they came out and beat them 38-7. So, you know, the fact that Penn State's going to be one of the better teams in the history of the last, you know, I think they'll give up, they'll put up a fight. But for the most part, yeah, you know, Buckeyes win convincingly.
Yeah, I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, what do I, you know, given that they're so good at defending the pass, and that, you know, Penn State, I don't know, man, without Hamler, I'm not feeling them. So I'm going to say no Hamler, Ohio State wins 38-14. You know, Penn State is just not able to reach the 20-point plateau without Hamler. With Hamler, that will not only increase the points, you know, make Penn State's offense, you know, orders of magnitude more dangerous. So it'll increase their point production, but it'll also keep Ohio State off the field a little bit more and keep Ohio State from getting the ball and, you know, in the same kind of field position they would have if they didn't have Hamler. So it's going to also, you know, it's going to increase, and it's going to lower Ohio State's points, if you will. So I say with Hamler, 35-24. So no Hamler, 38-14. With Hamler, 35-24. And this is an interesting thing. Hamler got a concussion. You know, like basically was just out, lights out on the field. You know, you hate to see that. And, you know, who knows if he's going to play, but Franklin is saying he expects him to play. And, you know, it's for me, I'm like, hello, concussion? Like, in boxing, if a guy gets knocked out, which is, you're concussed if you're knocked out, that's just like fact, they're not allowed to fight for 6 months. It's like they're not allowed in the freaking ring for 6 months in boxing. So why is it like the next week you're out there in football? They, you know, I'm pretty sure that the boxers have human brains just the same as you know, the football players do. And I mean, it's scary.
Well, I don't know, those boxers, man. They're a different breed. Yeah. Taking some punches.
But I mean, they're the well, that's the whole thing. Think about that. But yet they don't go in the ring for another 6 months after they get knocked out.
Yeah.
But football players, yeah, I mean, yeah. Now, granted, we've come a long way. I mean, when I was playing high school football, our running back used to get concussed, you know, pretty regularly, and they would just put him, like, they'd be on the sidelines. He wouldn't even know where he was, and they'd put him back out there. You know, our coach, he would take smelling salts and jam them up the nose of our running back.
Ugh.
And then you're like, hello.
That'll wake you up.
Get the hell back out there. You know, so we've at least, you know, come on, you know, this was, you know, a good over 20 years ago. But so we're not quite that bad. But still, I mean, those concussions are no joke. So, you know, Franklin, if you're hearing me, Penn State medical staff, clearly you do not want to risk the health of Hamler. He needs to be stayed home. His life is more important than football. And the fact that this would benefit Ohio State has nothing to do with me making that analysis.
No, nothing at all. Yep. Nothing at all. There you go. Wise words from the intergalactic Buckeye fan himself, Mr. Chris Stefanik.
So, do what I can.
James, if you're listening, which I highly doubt you are, because Urban Meyer is still our only listener of the show. Sure, he loves listening to our analysis and recaps and previews and breakdowns and all of the idiocy that goes into this Buckeye Leafcast, Chris, each and every week that we're available to do it.
I hear you, my man.
And, of course, I thank you for coming on, sir. So before we crack the microphones off, anything else that we forgot to tell the fine listener of Urban Meyer out there?
Nah, I think we're pretty good. Let's do it.
Sounds good to me. So you say Buckeyes 35-24 if they have KJ Hamler and 38-14 if they don't.
Yes, sir.
Correct. And I'm saying 38-21. I think 38-21 either way. I'm just going to say one prediction. Go with that. But we both predict the Buckeyes to have a nice Big Ten East Division title clinching win this coming Saturday against the Shittany Lions in the Horseshoe.
I like it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another edition of the Buckeye Leafcast. We appreciate you downloading this edition of the show. It's been brought to you by Christie's Cleaning Services, LLC. It's not clean until it is Christie Clean. Be sure to visit her Facebook page at Christie's Cleaning Services, LLC. And it's also brought to you by my boy, Christopher Stefanik, and his band, Zen Large. Tell them where they can get large on a little Zen
sure.
in their life, Mr.
Sure.
Stefanik.
So the best place is probably just to go to YouTube and search for Zen Large, all one word, Z-N Large, or Z-E-N Large. So go to YouTube, search for that. Or if you want, you can go to zenlarge.co.
Nice. Got your own little website set up, huh?
Yes, sir.
Damn, that's the way to do it right there. Heck yeah, and be sure to check out the Buckeye Leafcast on a number of platforms, social media. We got our own Facebook page. We're on Twitter. We like to tweet out during the Buckeye games and every now and again hit up some people and make some rogue comments. What's going down on Twitter? Because let's face it, Chris, it's basically what Twitter's for, right? You get on, rip people, you know, post like dirty GIFs and memes and stuff like that, especially when it's Brett McMurphy making a comment about how good teams win but great teams cover. Obviously, a dig at Ohio State right after the Rutgers game ended, and then there was a slew of people who were not too kind in their responses back to old Bretty Mac. Including myself, I decided to post a nice little pooping image along with my comment to him on Twitter. So that's what you do when you're on Twitter, right?
Hey, you know, that's what it's for.
Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter. We're also on Podbean. We're on iTunes. We're on YouTube as well. We're all over the friggin' place. Be sure to check out the Buckeye Leafcast in a number of areas. Be sure to check out my boy, the intergalactic Buckeye fan, Chris Stefanik, and Zen Large. And be sure to root on the Buckeyes this Saturday against the Shittany Lions.
I like it.
And Chris, with that, Let's leave them like we always do. OH.
Hi-oh.
Go Bucks!